Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. In a 1965 article in Electronics Magazine, Gordon Moore, the co-founder of Intel, noted that the per-unit cost on a number of the components that make up an integrated circuit was doubling on a regular basis, almost every 2 years. This insightful bit of analysis came to be known as Moore's Law. Today, it is an acknowledged characteristic of the digital age, defining long-term trends in computing hardware. For more than half a century, the power of computing available at a given cost has risen exponentially, increasing computer power by many orders of magnitude, a pattern that is not expected to be broken anytime soon. Almost every measure of the capabilities of digital devices is strongly linked to Moore's Law: processing speed, memory capacity, sensors, and even the number and size of pixels in your digital camera. But this exponential increase in computing power has also had a profound impact on many other aspects of modern society, including research in science, engineering, and medicine. Researchers can now generate and analyze vast amounts of data to address questions that were unapproachable just a few years ago. They're carrying out detailed simulations to guide theoretical approaches and to validate new experimental approaches. They're working in interdisciplinary and often international teams on complex, integrative problems that require inputs from a multitude of perspectives. They're using data generated by others to augment their own data, and sometimes to address problems that the original researchers could not have even envisioned. Digital technologies have fostered a new world of research characterized by immense data sets, unprecedented levels of openness among researchers, and new connections among researchers, policymakers, and the public. Consider for a moment that the particle physics experiments conducted with the Large Hadron Collider at CERN will generate 15 petabytes of data annually, or in layman's terms, 15 million gigabytes. But perhaps even more consequential than the amount of data generated, advances in digital technologies are making it easier than ever for researchers to access a wide range of digital data from around the world almost instantaneously. This allows them to combine data from other sources with their own work to answer questions that would otherwise have been impossible to address effectively. So, remember when rapper Vanilla Ice used the bass line from a song by Queen in his song Ice Ice Baby? Well, maybe not, but the rapid exchange of digital data has given rise to the scientific equivalent of what the music industry refers to as a remix, when an artist takes elements from an existing song and combines it with new material to create an original composition. So as in pop music, in science. But just as advances in computers have created a number of issues for the music industry, advances in digital technologies also present numerous challenges to the research community. For starters, digital data can be extraordinarily easy to manipulate, making it very simple to inappropriately represent one's data, whether it's done intentionally or by mistake. Nobel Prize-winning molecular biologist Dr. Philip Sharp is the co-chair of the National Research Council Committee that authored the new report, Ensuring the Integrity, Utility, and Stewardship of Research Data in the Digital Age. He talked to us about some of the problems with data integrity that provided the impetus for the NRC study.
The report was stimulated in part because the Journal of Cell Biology put in place a program to look at the images that were being submitted in support of the research. And a significant fraction of the images they scanned was not consistent with the rules of how images should be reported. In the vast majority of cases, this is because of the people who were making the images used Photoshop to put images next to each other and didn't show the divisions between it. And there was nothing meant to be deceiving in that. It was just something people do. You do Photoshop on your family photos. But it did change the quality of those images in showing other investigators really what the basis of their data was.
Protecting the integrity of data is fundamental to the success of the scientific enterprise, but identifying the best methods to ensure the truth and accuracy of data is difficult simply because many of the necessary procedures will be different for each field of research. But despite this difficulty, one universally effective method is to maintain high standards of openness and transparency, making the accessibility to research data essential.
Accessibility is absolutely critical for ongoing research because it both is part of building on previous people's data in terms of planning and executing new experimental paradigms. And it is well part of the self-correcting process in science. As data is transparent and open, then people can scrutinize that data and then make a judgment as to whether the data really does support conclusions, whether the data, by the nature of the way it was collected, is limited, and new approaches need to be used. And it's in that process that science self-corrects in terms of poor interpretation or incorrect interpretation, which is very common, and less common, self-corrects in this context of finding misconduct in science. So this whole accessibility to data is of central importance in the process of doing science.
In general, when the results of research are publicly reported, the supporting data should also be made publicly available. Nevertheless, there are some legitimate reasons for restricting access to data under special circumstances.
There are cases in national security where it may be necessary to keep some data private. There are cases in commercial organizations where people have invested, companies have invested significant money in being able to collect some certain type of data, and it may be necessary to keep that data private until the commercial interests are at least advanced to the point where they can recover the investment and a reasonable profit. Every time data is not accessible to others to scrutinize it, it's important and an obligation of the people who are not making it available to state why and to state when it will be available. What are the conditions?
Finally, in order to ensure that the scientific community can continue to utilize existing data and incorporate it into new analyses, it's necessary that we find a way to preserve and protect digital data. But given the enormous quantities of data that are now produced, important decisions have to be made about which data to preserve.
Because there's so much digital data being created now, it's beyond probably the agencies in the government, capacity of universities, and even capacities of investigators to store that all that data and make it available for foreseeable future. It just costs too much. And therefore, there has to be decisions made as to what data is so important that it needs to be reserved for how long, and who's going to pay for it. Who's going to pay for both collecting it in a form that others can use it because it has to be well documented, metadata has to be recorded, how the data has been processed and interpreted, and all of that is cost. So the community has got to balance the value of the data in long-term research to the cost of preserving the data and recording it in a way it can be used.
Recent advances in digital technologies can be seen to be as critical to the scientific enterprise as the invention of the printing press. These technologies are truly revolutionizing the culture of science and how it is practiced. And while each research field has its own characteristic methods and scientific style, making it difficult to posit generalizations about the research enterprise as a whole, one theme threads through every discipline: the primacy of scrupulously recorded data. Time and again, research has provided access to discoveries, some big, some small, and some truly life-altering, that have helped improve the human condition. But if science is to continue to produce the best research possible, then the community must work with one another to set forth good policies that will ensure the long-term integrity, utility, and stewardship of data in the digital era. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.